Hola, Locamores. Diosa here from Locatora Radio.
Y Mala to talk classic telenovela tropes. More like our bedtime stories growing up, no?
Sí, those dramatic switched at birth dramas or evil stepmoms hiding the fact that you're really the boss storylines still bring the gasps.
Like Fabuloso brings the passion to cleaning with 2x concentrated formula to take the drama out of any mess.
I don't know about you, but when I smell Fabuloso's remarkable lavender scent in my casa, I know it's all going to be happily ever after.
Fabuloso's 2x concentrated formula provides 2x more active ingredients versus non-concentrated Fabuloso Original. Use as directed.
Build up to Black Friday with savings all month long at Lowe's. Get up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, take an additional 10% off when you buy select major appliances. And don't wait to pick up holiday inflatables under $20. Don't wait to save in-store or online now, because Lowe's knows deals. Valid 11/6 through 12/4. Cannot be combined with additional discounts. See Lowe's.com for details and qualifying items while supplies last.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Morgan. Oh. This three-point shooting thing was, like, funny in the preseason. Like, they can't make threes, right?
I don't even think it was that funny.
But it was like, it's preseason.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
First few games. They're going to make the threes. Five games in. They're going to make them, right? 10 games in. All right. 11 games in, the Kings cannot make threes to save their life. And tonight's San Antonio made a ton of them. They hit 22. Victor Wembanyama was a beast. And the Kings get hammered on the second half of back-to-back, 116-96. The Kings bench struggled. And they got some more bad news because Malik Monk, who went down the night before in Phoenix, moderate right ankle sprain. He's going to be out at least 2 weeks during a stretch where the Kings play a lot of games and a lot of tough games and a bench that was already struggling. Takes a serious hit. We got a lot to go over, including what went down tonight, big picture items, and we'll bounce around the NBA. I'm Deuce. That's Mo. How the hell are you?
Not the best. Not the best. You know, when, like, there's times when you're like, oh, that's concerning, but they'll figure it out. This is starting to feel like with the multiple concerns, not just the 3-point shooting, but everything we've talked about since the offseason, the length. The depth, bench production, I mean, however you want to look at it. And they were they just stood out tonight. And you can go along the lines and go, okay, second night of a back-to-back. Try and justify it from Malik Monk going down. You know, of course, absolutely, you have to factor those things in. But what they did tonight didn't look like it was happening because of a second night of a back-to-back, right? It didn't look like fatigue mentally and physically. It just didn't look good. It was a bad loss for so many different reasons. So yeah, I'm not feeling great.
And we said before this season, the Spurs are probably going to be one of those annoying teams. They were going to be better this year. They're just annoying because they have a guy who is an absolute freak of nature. Victor Wembanyama. This guy is pulling up from, like, the logo multiple times. He came into this game shooting 28%. Tonight, of course, he goes 6 of 12 from downtown in this game. He was an absolute force, finishing with 34 points. He had 14 rebounds. He had 6 assists. He also had a steal and 3 blocks, Morgan, and had a serious impact on the Kings' defense. There are times that maybe the Kings' offense, a serious impact on the Kings' offense. There may be times the Kings tried to attack him too much, but there's also times that the Kings were a little scared to even go inside the paint because of what he does down there,
right?
His length and his size.
I'd be scared.
His sheer presence can impact an offense, impacted the Kings tonight.
Yeah, and, you know, you can look at so many bigs around the league and you got to go, oh, you got to go through their chest. This guy is like, what's one of those things outside of, like, car sales lots, like, that just are like the wiggly,
the wacky,
and they're like humongous and you're like, wow, those are so big. Like, there's nothing you can do Like you can, that's where you have to shoot away from it, right? Because you can't really get by it because it covers so much goddamn space. And sure, it's fun to watch, but it's definitely not fun to watch when it truly adjusts everything that you've seen your team do so well. And it's incredible that this one young player can do such a thing. But at the same time, when you look around the league, and especially if you look at the Sacramento Kings, you got to have a plan B, and the plan B would be to shoot the ball, and the Kings are not shooting the ball.
I thought that one thing tonight that they didn't do enough was push. He doesn't want to run. Yep. He doesn't want to run on defense, but when you get in the half court, it becomes really complicated. And they did try to challenge him at times, and then, like I said, other times they didn't. I thought Lyles a few times took some threes where I'm like, this is Victor contesting it. Like, those aren't good shots. Mm-hmm. And so, the Spurs were unbelievable shooting the ball in this game. 22 of 46. Yes, a tick under 48% from three. The Kings end up 10 of 38 from downtown. That is 26%. They were outscored 66 to 30 from three-point land. You're not winning games when that happens. And if you do, it's because you shoot 800 free throws. Well, tonight, Sacramento shot 9 free throws, 8 of 9. Outside of Fox, Sabonis, and DeRozan, they didn't get much else at all in this game.
Tomorrow? Yeah, I'm talking about tomorrow. Tomorrow, I want to look at all of the Spurs threes, and I want to look at all the Kings threes. Because to me, now that 11 games in, right?
Yeah.
I'm making sure I have that number right. 11 games in. Why are the Kings such a bad team defensively? And especially against a team, an average three-point shooting team like the San Antonio Spurs. Like, why do they look so dominant from three against you? And then with your threes, you mentioned some of Trey Lyles. You can look at others. You know, I want to look at the mechanics. I want to look at how they're being generated. I am just like to the point where I want to be able to talk about it. To not just like, they got a spray three. It looks good. And they're getting some good looks. Oh, they're taking some stupid ones too. There's now a point where I just like don't understand it otherwise. And I need to study it tomorrow.
Well, Mike Brown would say that they need to take some more threes. He thought they challenged Victor too much tonight. They had some opportunities for more spray threes. But here are some numbers that are staggering. Mm. The Kings are officially last in three-point percentage in the NBA at 30.1%. They're also last in open three-point percentage, and that is with defenders within 4 to 6 feet of the shooter. They get 13.7 open threes per game. They're shooting last at 23.4% on those open looks. It gets worse. Oh, our guy, Will Z from Will Z Stats.
Thanks, Will Z.
Points from three this year. Sacramento, 339. Their opponent, 501. That comes out to a 14.7 per game point difference from three. And then Frankie Cardicelli over at Sacktown Sports said they have allowed three teams to make 19 plus threes this season. That's the most in the NBA.
Thanks.
Do you want one more thing to really just
shove it right in
your face, Let's Kings fans? This is from our guy, Skyler, Sack Film Room. Kings from three the last eight games. 25.8%, 33%, 25%, 37%, 28.6%, 11.5%, 29.7%, and 26.3%. That is only two games shooting 30% or higher in the last eight games. An unbelievable stat. Yeah, I mean, there's so many angles we could talk about here, but this is not sustainable, and this is why it's concerning. We can all acknowledge it's early. In the 22-23 season, they started the season 5-6. Well, rewind, they actually started 0-4. They were 5-6 after 11 games. Last year, they were 7-4 after 11 games. Yeah. Right now, they're 6-5. You know, all those numbers can try to make you feel good, but we're in like this year, and the West is more stacked than ever. You're digging yourself a hole early. In addition to that, it doesn't seem like anything is going to happen to get you out of this hole, especially when you're playing so many games. So this three-point shooting officially tonight, Morgan, after 11 games, I've stamped it. Concern.
Oh, wow. It got the stamp of concern.
It got the stamp of concern tonight.
I don't blame you. And I think too, it could be a little bit prisoner of the moment because we go, oh man, but if they had won tonight, we're again talking about the theme of them fighting through adversity, blah, sure. blah, blah, all the things. But I'm glad that they lost. Well, I'm not glad that they lost, but I'm glad that we're talking about this now being truly concerning.
To be fair, we've been talking about the 3-point woes even during wins. And it's like, hey, they're fighting through it. Maybe they can start knocking some down.
But fighting through, that's the thing. This game was the first game that I feel like they couldn't fight through things. You know, like where it just felt like, for example, last night's game against the Suns, they had two people that were able to really step up and take over and be like, hey, we got this. We got you guys. Jump on our back. Where it just never felt like anyone was saying, hey, jump on our back. And in fact, then you had guys like even, for example, Keegan out there. If you're gonna shoot like shit and not do certain things and then at times not even look aggressive. I was worried about him. You at least have to be rebounding. And let's just stick to the shooting like you're saying before we get to all that. But you at least have to be rebounding. And so my point is, it just felt like, okay, there's so many different categories. No one was doing well. But this category, when it comes to the shooting threes and you look at those statistics over these 11 games, it's absolutely concerning. It's not sustainable and it's frustrating because even in wins, I can't be talking about shitty shooting. It's just not fun.
What's wild with it, the Kings rank 5th in field goal percentage despite the fact that they are last in 3-point percentage at 30.1%. Yeah, I mean, at some point you're like, hey, these shots are going to drop. It just doesn't feel like it's going to happen. Now, do I think they're going to shoot 30% for the season? No, I do not. But you're just waiting for this breakout game, and it's hard for me to fathom it happening in this stretch where you're playing 5-7. You got heavy legs. Like, you talked about Keegan Murray tonight, and, like, people are piling on Keegan for sure. And I get it. The guy did not have a good game tonight. I thought this was one of his worst games in a while. I mean, the worst game of the season for sure.
Yeah.
But it kind of looked like the Keegan who lacked confidence, whatever. He looked exhausted tonight. And this is just a bigger topic, right? Because you're going, well, come on. Hey, he can't have games like this. He's got to knock down threes. Why isn't he a good 3-point shooter? Well, look, is he the guy that we saw his rookie year where mm-hmm. he hit 40% from three and 200 threes? Or is he the guy we have seen now for a season plus 11 games?
Yeah.
Which is inconsistent from three. This is a roster construction issue. And until you get Keegan Murray some help at the wing spot, I don't know what to tell you because you want these guys to start knocking down shots. Keegan Murray, in this game, he ends up playing 28 minutes, but he's been playing 39, 38 minutes, leading the team in minutes every night. Are these starters going to start knocking down threes consistently when they're playing 38 minutes a night? Like, that's not sustainable either. So then you need your bench guys to step up. Well, Trey Lyles has been so inconsistent from three. Doug McDermott, a 41% 3-point shooter in his career, comes to Sacramento, and now he's like shooting like he was Marco Bellinelli when he was in Sacramento. No one's making shots. And so it's like, you need more shooting.
Mm-hmm.
You need size. These are things we've talked about in the offseason. And, like, you're asking Keegan, hey, go defend the best guy. We need to crash every offensive rebound. We need you to bang with the best of them, defend all these tough guys. And, oh, hey, we need you to score, too. He's getting no help. You got to give this guy some help. He's got to take a break every once in a while.
You need two-way guys. And you need two-way guys to also be able to, obviously, play a lot of minutes. Now, kind of going off of what you're saying, though, playing 40 minutes a night or whatever, it really isn't sustainable in today's league with the amount of, you know, physicality that goes on, the pace, like, however you want to put it. I know in so many ways that part of my mind goes to, well, God, doesn't everyone just want to play the whole game? Like, as a competitor, you want to play the whole game, but you really just think about an 82-game season like that. It is not sustainable. And then you talk about the shooting, people that are supposed to be identified as a shooter on this team. Let's go, like, let's just go over that list. And I say shooter, I'm going more 3-point shooting, yeah. Okay? So let's look. Keegan Murray's supposed to be.
Yep.
Kevin Huerter.
Yep.
Keon Ellis.
Yep.
Do we put Trey Lyles?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Trey Lyles. Doug McDermott.
Jordan had a really good year from three last year.
And Jordan even knocked down one of three. So yeah. So anyway, so you look at those guys and you're like, hey, this team's got some shooters. Nobody's doing their fucking job.
You got to make shots at some
That's
point.
That's what yeah. I'm just saying.
They were 10 of 38 from three in the game. They were 3 of 17 in the second half. We keep talking about the bench too. The bench production at the first half, I'm like, wow, they're getting something from the bench. Well, in the second half, the bench scored 3 points. 3 points in the second half. On the second half of a back to back. This is a group, Morgan, that the depth is a serious concern. Uh-huh. You're running the starter so many minutes. Uh-huh. The 3-point shot is not dropping, and you're giving up threes. Why are you also giving up threes? Because even if you have some good closeouts, you have a whole bunch of 6'3", 6'4", guys closing out. Like, you have one Keegan Murray. Like, yeah. So, yeah.
I know.
These teams are bigger than you, they're taller than you, and they're shooting over you. I don't know what to tell you. And that's where you don't have to wait until February to make a move.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other reality. And it's clear that it's not unfair to say, and it's not over the top to say that, all right, we saw the Kings' issues last year. They addressed one of those in a big way with DeMar DeRozan, who has been spectacular, mm-hmm. right? But the size thing is still not addressed. And now if you want to compete in this Western Conference and not only make the playoffs but win a series,
yeah,
you're going to need something different.
Well, and so something, yeah, yes, because I think your point to that too, you're going – look, at least if another team is making their threes, you're answering back with your own threes, you know? And there has been no answering back. Yeah. And again, I don't even have an answer for it. Like, I completely understand when one shooter has a bad year, half a bad season, a couple bad games, whatever, but it's every shooter on this team, whether they're getting a couple minutes or they're a starter, is they're not doing what yeah. they're supposed to be doing out there when it comes to that category. And now we've seen in other games, you know, where guys have been doing, like, for example, Kevin Huerter has picked up his game defensively. And we thought he was going to be such a liability on that end of the floor. And so it's such a positive thing to see. And especially in yesterday's game, he was knocking down shots and doing his job on both ends of the floor. But in a night like tonight, you're trying to tell me this roster, those names, you guys can't make any more than 10 threes yeah. in a game. I don't know. It's just, it's beyond me right now.
Meanwhile, the Spurs, I mean, they had off their bench 8 threes. Tonight.
I know.
The Kings of the team, they eat off their bench.
I don't right? get it. I don't get it. I just need someone to explain it to me.
Even Stephon Castle, who's like, either rap on him, he's not a good shooter. He was 2 of 5 from downtown. Victor was shooting 28%. Coming in this game, he was 6 of 12. Champagne, who's like a Kings killer, 3 of 8. CP3, 2 of 5. Mamu was 3 of 5. Vassell, 3 of 5. So it's like, yeah, it's like, in some ways, and I'm trying, and I know this is like a vent session tonight, and I really like this.
Thank you.
We all need this. It. I think yeah. the chat needs it. We're talking here.
Thank you so much.
I'm like, I want to believe that it could flip because they get good looks and because you said the track record thing.
Yeah.
But I then go back to the minutes and like not in a flow, and I'm like, I don't know.
But then you go to even this. You go, this team has top 5 best field goal percentage, and how many times – A coach will say to their shooters, you just need to see the ball go through the hoop, you know, and those will start falling. The ball is going through the hoop inside the arc. Yeah. Like, they're seeing it go in. They're doing other things. Now, I will say on a night like tonight, when you look at the assist numbers, 18 assists, and I look at that number and I go, well, I think too, because they're missing lot of these 3-point shots, that number isn't higher. But at the same time, I go, Do we feel like their offense is a little different? Do we feel like they need to be generating things differently? No,
dude, their offense it's different in some ways, but they're still running DHOs.
Yep.
Okay, but
getting spray
threes.
Not,
you're not going to win games when Kevin Huerter, when you don't have Malik Monk already, Kevin Huerter goes 1 of 7, 0 of 5 from 3. Keegan Murray, 2 of 7, 1 of 5 from 3. You're not...
Game after game.
You got 20-plus from your three guys.
Yeah.
DeMar, Sabonis, and Fox. But if you're not getting anything outside of that, like, this is today's league. You have to be able to knock down threes. And I know some people hate hearing that. It's like, oh, why is everything has to be dictated by the three-point shot? That's where it is right now, and that's the name of the game. So we can complain about it or just deal with the fact that you're going to have to knock them down. But in terms of generation, I thought tonight, I don't think the Kings played a good game tonight.
No.
I thought some of the threes tonight weren't great. I think they took some tough ones. I felt like there's a couple where Huerter was off balance. You know, Keegan airballed one. He airballed another shot. Fox airballed one. Like, some of that could be some fatigue, but there's also ones where they just took some tough ones.
Yeah.
And I know Mike wants them to take more, but I think some of it is like, I don't know. Are they lacking some confidence now, right now? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I think that's part of it. And this I find interesting in our chat. Someone says, we sacrifice Keegan's shooting for his defense. Here's the thing. A player like him is going to be good at both. He's capable of being good at both. Like, you are. And I know at times when we throw out the minute situation and we go, hey, that's not sustainable for the whole season, we're 11 games in. There's been a shit ton of back-to-backs. So I'm not ready to just be like, oh, that's why, tired legs, we're halfway through the season.
No, that's what it is, Morgan. And you know what you need to do is have someone like Dorian Finney-Smith on your roster. Someone else who can take... I'm just throwing a name out there. Someone else that could take pressure off this guy so you don't have to play him 38 minutes. You have someone else like, hey, Keegan, you don't have to take this tough matchup the entire game. We'll switch off and give this defender, this wing that we have off our bench, a chance. They don't have that on the roster. Yeah. So this is what it comes down to. You may have to make a trade at some point that maybe makes people uncomfortable. I mean,
burping.
I am. That? Because I'm getting like, I'm about to throw up thinking about all of these things. you don't have to wait till February to do it. Of course, like, I think I'm keeping an eye. Okay. We've all talked about Cam Johnson 100 times. Of course, he's off to an amazing start. So who knows what that price tag is going to look like? Brooklyn's playing some really solid basketball under Jordy Fernandez. Dorian Finney-Smith's on that roster. And then you start thinking about other options. I know, look at the Bucks. They're a mess right now. Oh. You know, Bobby Portis looks like he needs a change of scenery. Now, Bobby Portis wouldn't fix all the Kings' issues, but one of the issues is size and toughness and having That's a dog. True. And Bobby Portis right now is a little bit of a mess in Milwaukee. His shooting numbers are way down, but he's got a track record of being a 38% three-point shooter. He's got a track record of being a guy that can crash the offensive glass, be tough, and get rebounds. He's not perfect. He's not like some lockdown defender all the time, but I know he's strong. And he can get some buckets every once in a while. And he's got a deal that's a player option next year at like $12 million. Maybe he opts out. I don't know. I'm just in my head going, I see what the Kings have right now. And I know it's not going to be enough in the West to win a round. And that's the name of the game. You didn't get DeMar DeRozan to like, maybe we'll get in the play-in.
Yeah. And that's,
maybe we'll get into the playoffs. Well,
and like that's the thing. That's it. I feel like you made the big moves that you did, getting DeMar DeRozan, adding DeMar DeRozan to De'Aaron, to Sabonis, to be able to take that next step. And it's the same. Obviously, this is not the exact same, but it's like when you look at the Suns and they did everything and they got Beal, and then they just had a Maj Paj when it came to their depth and not a true point guard and all the different things. And it was something that we talked a lot about with the Suns. But also, you had Book and KD on your squad. You're going to play well. You're going to do some big things. And that's what the Suns still seem to do. But that's why when I do look at this team, I kind of go into the depth. And I think these individuals, from what I've seen, I'm like, oh, like, they're good basketball players. But this combination and what Mike Brown wants and needs and trusts out there, it's not it. And I'm totally with you when it comes to roster construction and giving, and also just making sure that your coach has multiple weapons to put out there. Weapons being length, weapons being people that he feels like he can trust. So even if they're not a scorer out there, they're going to be doing other things.
Let's get to a couple of comments in the chat. Man, I don't want to mess up this name.
Don't say it.
Harish? Harish? More on the minutes thing. Fox, DeRozan, Keegan, and Domas are in the top four in total minutes played out of the entire league. Yeah, that's not a good thing. That's a great call, though. I'm glad you brought that up. Jesse James says, Mike Brown seems like he has to be forced to play his bench. Any reason so far? God, some of these typos mess with me. Sorry.
Do you want me to read it?
Have the options always been that bad? Does he need to trust the guys more and spread the minutes to better defend the three?
I'm with you. I think he needs to. I absolutely think he needs to trust guys more and just like put them out there. And that would be better when it comes to minute distribution. But I like J-Mac. I like Jordan McLaughlin. But when you are having him close out on a 3-point shot today, he's undersized. It's not going to screw with most shooters, most wings, most whatever, NBA players out there along the perimeter. And I feel like you're even seeing that with the guys that are playing right now, all the minutes with the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, I think he's definitely got to lean into them more. It's a little more challenging now that Monk's gone, but, you know, Keon obviously has to play minutes. You want Trey to get it going. You know, even Doug tonight, there were a couple of times, you know, he had some nice cuts to the basket. Sabonis found him once and it was beautiful. It was actually really one of my favorite plays of the game the Kings had early, where Fox was able to get Wemby switched on him and he brought Wemby out in the perimeter. He knew Sabonis had a mismatch, got to Sabonis, and then Doug cut and Sabonis found him. It was beautiful. I think Doug can be a factor knocking down shots, but it's, again, he just hasn't done it yet. And maybe for him, it is more of a rhythm thing, where it's like, hey, I need some minutes to go out there and get comfortable. But he's not going to hesitate when he gets out there. And you look at his track record, the guy has done this in his career where he knocks down threes. Mm-hmm. So your head guy, can he come in on? Why can't he be like the Spurs tonight and have like three threes off the bench? It'd be a game changer for the Kings right now. So, yeah, I think there is something to that, the trusting of the bench for sure. But I also think they have a lot of flaws that they are going to have to address if they want to reach the goals that I think they all want to reach.
Because I think at the end of the day, too, with the main thing that we talked about last night with this team is, man, they fight through, they keep finding a way. And even in some of these losses, like they're in these games. And Keegan even talked about like, hey, it's the NBA. Like that's a good thing that we are even in some of these losses as well. And it's about taking that next step. But I think it's not just because of this loss against the Spurs that we were talking about all these things. It's putting all the different things together, not seeing that same fight. And there's just multiple things that
I don't feel like they didn't have fight tonight. I don't agree with that. You didn't think they had fight tonight?
They didn't. So it's, again, that has nothing to do with their effort. That has nothing to do with like their mentality. It means that they just didn't have it. Okay. Like they didn't have anyone finding a way to bring them back into the game, being the one to say, get on my back, let's effing go. They've had that consistently throughout 10 games, and I felt like tonight was the first game that they just didn't have that. And sometimes when you're missing every single freaking 3-point shot, what it feels like, and just a team is making every single one on you, it's going to be deflating. And not like they hung their heads and were deflated, but it just can take you out of your game. And I felt like they were not playing their same type of basketball that they have been playing.
It's interesting seeing the chat tonight. And I know chats after loss get a little wild. Trust me, I see in our Discord where, you know, that's one thing. Every like loss doesn't have to be an indictment on the organization and like the future of everything. Like, I think we could take a step back and not freak out after every loss and not get crazy after every win. It's a long season. But it's interesting to see like the discussion about Keegan Murray. I think Keegan Murray has had a really good year this year. He has been aggressive. He's been more effective in the mid-range, attacking. His defense has been fantastic. The one area of his game that has struggled, just like all of his teammates, has been from three. And tonight, he definitely had his worst game of the season. He had a couple of really bad turnovers. Yeah. He just looked like it was just one of those nights for him. He was not good at all. But it's like, dude, are we ignoring what he did? Like, he's been one of their better guys. He just needs to knock down shots. And that's really it's fair to bring up the three-point shooting with him because I'm of the belief that he's being asked to do so much and needs help, and that's probably impacting his three-point shot. But his rookie year, he was fantastic from three. Since then, he hasn't been that good. So is he more the guy that we're seeing now?
Right.
Which is a guy that, if he's not knocking down a three, is a high-end role player in this league, or if he can get back to knocking down the three, this guy's borderline all-star because of his defense.
Being that guy, and how many times we've talked about him, can he be that guy? And I think it's interesting that you're saying that people are even talking about that, because I even think on Keegan Murray's worst game of the season, I don't look at any individual when I'm venting right now. I'm venting about the team as a whole, from just their three-point percentage to not having the bench production to minute distribution, all those different things. It's just really crashing down on me after this loss.
Sean says Keegan has regressed a lot.
I don't agree.
We're watching a different game, Sean. Yeah. I mean,
just because he's missing his threes?
Maybe watch a game together. I can help the untrained eyes the best I can. You know, sometimes just being around the basketball mind, like, the knowledge kind of seeps in. Like, I think it's helped you, right? Just being around the basketball mind, which is like seeped into you.
Gross.
No? It might help Sean. He's regressed a lot. His rookie year, all he did was he knocked down threes at a high rate, and it was awesome for that team. He couldn't defend me out there. And now all of a sudden he's defending some of the best guys and he's doing it at a very high level. Like, what are we saying?
And he's rebounding like a madman this year, except obviously tonight. And he's had another game where he didn't do that either. But I think what it is for someone like Sean, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but what I feel like a lot of people are probably feeling, Deuce, is that his expectations after year one, the expectations for Keegan Murray after year one was this next leap. Okay, but then what's going to be the next leap? And I think the leaps aren't, for some reason, big enough for people when you really do have to take a step back and go, no, he's still like adding so many different things to his game. And I don't know, I just don't agree with that at all.
We appreciate you guys being with us tonight.
Thanks.
Late night, talking some Kings and NBA basketball. If you have not done it yet, the biggest thing you could do to help our channel grow, hit the thumbs up. Also, make sure you're subscribed, too, because we are closing in on that 18,000 mark. I think we got like 75 to go, maybe,
until
we get to 18,000. Then we're going to get to 20,000.
He missed 1,000.
I can't wait.
Thanks, guys.
But yeah, seriously, appreciate you guys being here tonight. Yeah. I know this feels like a doomer pod a little bit tonight, but we have talked about a lot of the good things a lot this year. Like, we can acknowledge DeMar DeRozan and how good he's been, and Sabonis has been really effective. Fox's three-point shooting hasn't been great, but what he's done defensively, the numbers back that up, and still being able to score the basketball. I feel like those three have been really, really good. I think Keegan's been good. And the fact that their offense is not, like, near the bottom of the NBA right now with their three-point shooting is a positive sign. But at some point, you're like, it's got to turn, because we can't spend the whole season. We can't be 20 games in going, well, they're 30. I mean, at some point, you know.
But even in some of these losses this year, I mean, you've heard Deuce and I come on here and go, oh, man, let's talk about all the things that they did well. Because there's so many good things that we are seeing this season. And I think tonight was the first night that not only did a lot of bad happen, it was a very bad game for the Sacramento Kings, but it really puts an emphasis on some of those numbers and those things that we just keep talking about. And I think it's fair to vent about it as I spit, to vent about it after a game, after a game like tonight. And I don't think it's like you said, I don't think it's anything to be like all freaked out about.
That's why I played the burst, Morgan. It's just a little burst, right? That's where we're at, right? Just a little, not a full-on siren, just a little like, ooh, okay. 11 games in. It's not nothing.
Yeah. No, it's definitely not nothing.
It's not 5 preseason games. It's something.
It's something.
It's not everything, though.
I agree.
It'll be really funny. This podcast is going to age so well if, like, Wednesday against Phoenix, the Kings hit, like, 19 of 38 from three. Well, and they win by 27. We're like, whoa, oh, my God.
I remember that the pregame on Friday with me, you, and Chelsea, we were talking about De'Aaron's finger, and we were like, yo, is that what's messing up his shot? And then he, like, hit a couple of threes, and we're like, damn it, we knew he was going to do that. Oh, against Clippers.
It'd be naive to say like that finger thing isn't an issue, of course, but like also I'm to the point now where if he's playing with it and he doesn't care and he's not complaining about it, like then why should we spend time on it?
And we, you know, but we shouldn't. And that's
saying we as a collective, not necessarily us, but just everybody. We've talked about
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. We as a collective shouldn't. I mean, it's the same and it's like anyone would say that's played hoops before and has had their fingers taped up on their shooting hand, it might screw with it a little bit, but there's only so much you can do to adjust that. You know, it's the same thing when Sabonis like broke his thumb. Well, he played through it, but there was going to be times that it got hit or something was going to happen where he had to try to adjust it.
A simple JD says they could start a 10-game shooting streak of 38% from three starting Wednesday and we'll all look dumb. It's just annoying right now. That's the best way to put it. It Hell is so annoying because out of all the weaknesses, I don't think we thought, like,
yeah.
I'm not going to pretend like I thought the Kings were going to be an elite three-point shooting team. Something we had talked about before the season is like, hey, you did lose a 40% three-point shooter in Harrison Barnes. Like, that was a concern. But I also was, like, bullish on Herter. I thought Keegan would be good. I just did not think it would be. I mean, no one would have predicted this. This is ridiculous. No one, you know?
This is ridiculous.
And they maintain. I mean, you hear Mike Brown. You talk to the players. You hear people around the team. They are convinced that, like, this is going to turn. But, you know, as each game goes by, I'm sure the nerves kind of start firing a little bit.
They need, you know, they probably don't have this. I was thinking, you know how they have like the mental sports coaches or whatever?
Yeah.
What do they call? Like, they just need someone to give them good juju for the threes. Like, I don't know what you do or how you do it.
They get it every 2 weeks when they get paid. Let's go. You get paid. Let's go. Check your direct deposit. All right. There you go. That's all you need to get it going.
I mean, it's not, obviously, it's not all you need. Need something else.
Man.
I don't know what it is, though. I don't know what it is.
Oberyn says, we have a defense problem. Now we have an offense and defense problem. You know, I think defensively they've been fine this year. Like, I think they're 10th in defensive rating. They're kind of what I thought they would be. I just didn't think the three-point shooting was going to be that bad. The bigger issue, though, I guess to your point, is what are they going to look like against some of these bigger teams in the league? It's going to be a challenge. But I don't think until tonight their defense was like, oh, man, that really hurt. You know, like the Clippers game, they shot like shit, but they were in it. You know, like they've been in some of these games shooting poorly. And I think it's because they're doing other things well. Tonight, you don't knock down threes and you don't get to the free throw line. And, oh, by the way, the Spurs knocked down 22 threes. Yeah.
Another angle I wanted to bring up was Keon Ellis off the bench.
Yeah.
Did you feel like he was trying to be a little bit more aggressive when it came to his offense?
What was he in? 1 of 6, 1 of 5 from three? Just, I mean, the way maybe. That... I don't know. I can't really... Nothing's coming to mind right now.
Oh, okay. I didn't... Okay. You don't remember some of his possessions at all? Because I thought he was trying to like actually take the ball and just go.
He tried to take it on Wemby once, which he almost finished.
And but, I honestly didn't even love that. But I was just like, oh, I just thought it was interesting to see him be more aggressive and more confident. And I thought maybe it was like something he was told because Malik's out. Like, do your thing.
He's got to.
And that was my point.
Yeah.
Go on.
I agree with you. In the chat, Draymond says, just accept the fact DeMar is a bad fit if he can't space the floor. Plus, he's a terrible defender. Trade DeRozan for a better wing. Draymond, DeRozan's been shooting the ball effectively from three, actually. I think he's one of the Kings' better three-point shooters this year. Also, if you're talking about spacing, I could tell you have are one of those people who have untrained eyes, too, because he does a lot for the spacing,
Don't
actually.
Be that person.
Oh, no. We are calling out untrained eyes. The basketball conversation has to be better. We have to That's have higher true. Standards. And if all you're doing is like, well, he hasn't been three-point shooting, so that means spacing bad. That then you're not watching, and it's fine, and it's a simple game, but maybe for someone like you, it's not that simple, and you need to sit with Daddy Deuce for a game and let him kind of run you through how things operate.
And
you know?
Like for example, right? Trained eyes. We cannot defend the perimeter in all caps. Yes, trained eyes. I mean, very simple. Like, no. And it's not talking about defensive pressure along the perimeter. You're just talking about 3-point shooting. Yeah. For every single team that the Kings play. I mean, where are they in their 3-point defense? It's not good. Not good.
Well, let's see.
Oh, good. See. Thank you.
Let's see here. Let's go opponent. 3-point percentage. So the Kings are 27th in 3-point percentage. They allow teams right now to shoot 37.6% from three. The only teams worse, Philly, New Orleans, Atlanta. The team the best right now, the Warriors at 32%.
Oh, dear God.
You know, it's funny. Actually, a stat that it's kind of more reflective is how many open looks you're allowing. We'll have to dig into those numbers. The Warriors are actually allowing a ton of open looks, but teams are not making shots. So you wonder if that will flip at any point. You know, those raw numbers are not always indicative of like
interesting.
This doesn't show you how many are contested or anything
that's
like that.
True.
Yes, but opponents on average are making 15.2 threes per game against Sacramento, which is 27th in the league. Yeah, not good. Not good. But again, it goes to the issue of like,
not good.
When you don't have size, your man gets beat, you've got to help. Then you're trying to recover.
For
and
sure.
Then you're not long enough to recover. Guys get open looks. They get comfortable. Even tonight, like some of the looks Victor took early, I'm like, you can have those, man.
Yeah.
Do it. And then, of course, he knocks down six and you're like, okay, don't do that. Is this your game now? If Victor Wembanyama is hitting the shots he hit tonight and he's doing that
it's
consistently.
Game over.
It's over for the league. I don't know how you defend that when he can pull up from 28 plus and launch and bury threes. And then even tonight, I was so impressed, Morgan, with his ability to put the ball on the floor and then make a play when the defense collapsed. He had six assists.
Yeah.
And so he's doing that. Oh, he's a monster on the offensive glass because if he's around the rim, like he can get those rebounds and clean it. And then once he gets a rebound, like he's dunking it. Like what a freak, man.
He's I mean, it's definitely fun to watch. It's just not fun when it's against your team. And it hands you the big old L.
Oh, we got more coming up. We should mention that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Mother.
Hey, big November deal, people, and you should all go in because it is phenomenal. It is delicious. They have won so many awards. They have won a Michelin bib. And all of November, if you go in, bring a photo of your grandmother or mother, dead or alive, you get 50% off your entire meal. So bring in your family. Bring in your mother. Take a photo of her. Then show them when you are checking out, and you will get 50% off your entire check.
Yeah, it's amazing food. 2319 K Street. You can check out the menu at mothersacramento.com. This is one of the gems of Sacramento.
Elite.
It's a great spot to go get food. You think about Sacramento, you think about Mike, Lisa, and Rob, who love Sacramento, have poured like all the love and passion into this place. You got to check it out. Mother, 2319 K Street. Also presented tonight by our friends of our Golden One Credit Union, Morgan.
We are one.
We are one. We are together tonight. That's for sure. Golden One is the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. You know, there's so many perks to being a Golden One member. One of them, if you're a Kings fan, you get up to 50% off Kings home games through Golden One's online discount ticket portal, plus 15% off merch. going to games. You could be waving that card and maybe get a free seat upgrade. That's amazing stuff. So I highly recommend you scan that QR code on the screen or go to goldenone.com to see their range of products and services to help you start your financial journey today.
We've had a few listeners scan that QR code, go to the website, and already become a member. And they're like, cool, I get so many different benefits just by having this card, just by being a member. So just remember, we are one.
Also presented tonight by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. If you need new windows, you need an HVAC system, go to the experts at Northwest Exteriors. Windows in this studio have been done.
Oh, yeah.
They just tell you energy efficient. Oh, you save money. Temperatures feel nice. You feel safe and secure. And it's so cool because you just go to their showroom and check it all out for yourself. They have all the windows on display. You can play with them.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can if you really want to, or you can just be an adult and go, wow, like, let me go look to not play with them.
I'm not saying play with them like I'm like, testing them out for yourself. Like, do I like this lock? Ooh, that
Deuce was in there for 3 hours. They actually couldn't get him out of there because he enjoyed playing with the window so much. But no, he's right. They do have a showroom as well. If you are curious and like, what the hell kind of window do I need? They have all the answers there, and they have a deal that's going all the way through November and December. Basically, you'll get $109 buyback on every single window, and they will also donate $20 to the Warrior Foundation Freedom Station for each window purchased.
Yeah, that offer expires on December 29th. Check out their website, northwestexteriors.com, because I can tell you this, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Wanted to see you sing by yourself. Thank you. It was good.
Appreciate everyone's support of the Deuce and Mo podcast. Also, check out deuceandmo.com. Click on merch. Check out all of our awesome merch. We don't promote that enough. And then Morgan yells at me. That's my bad.
It is true. Good job. To your teammate.
Every day when you log into ChumbaCasino.com, the ultimate online social casino, you get a free daily bonus. Imagine if you got daily bonuses in other parts of your life.
I chose French fries over loaded French fries.
I asked Stuart from accounting about his weekend, even though I don't care.
I updated my operating system without having to call tech support.
Collect your free daily bonus at ChumbaCasino.com now. And live the Chumba life.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Let's get to a few more comments because I want to get your perspective on this. Morgan Eugene says, third game in four nights are always brutal. I'm not concerned at all by this loss. Eugene, I wish I had that.
Yeah.
I wish I had that feeling.
No, and I wish I did too. And I think, again, not every loss is created equal. And how they lost this game, and sure, I think some of the things that we are saying will end up being prisoner of the moment. We don't usually get in that space too hardcore in losses, but you're feeling it a little bit more today, especially after a big enough sample size of what the shooting has been.
Appreciate the super chats too. Jersey Devs 2000 donates $5 saying, thinking someone, not necessarily Deuce and Mo, at pre and post game practice scrums should spam Mike Brown and players about made/allowed 3-pointers every time. I mean, what are they supposed to say about it? You know, also Sebastian, the Spurs fan, is very excited tonight and has donated multiple times, hyping up his Spurs, saying, I told you, you guys never listen to good old Sebastian, super OG listeners to your pod. Spurs have a top 3-4 defense. Why not mention that? They were actually ranked below the Kings headed into tonight's game, but that's fine. Sebastian also says, go Spurs, go Kings too. And that's
Thanks, Sebastian.
Congratulations to your Spurs. Yeah, I think Spurs fans should be obviously very excited, not only about Victor Wembanyama, but I'm a big Stephon Castle fan. We got a chance to call some of his games during the California Classic in Sacramento, and you know, the big rap on him is like, oh, is he going to be able to knock down shots? And like, he looks confident.
Yep.
He attacks. I mean, he's tough, man. And he could finish at the rim through contact. If he can knock down shots, I think he's going to be a really talented player.
Yeah, I'm with you. He just has a good feel for the game. And I think when you're that young and you can already, you know, kind of make that impact, obviously you're in an organization where you're going to have an iconic coach that is going to teach you things the right way as well. It's going to be great for his development too.
Jacob says, do you think there's still a 50+ win team? It's hard to see it at the moment, but there is still season left and there could be moves that are made and maybe that propels them. You know, maybe they get hot in this homestand and start knocking down threes. I think this next six-game stretch is fascinating. They play five of the next six games at home. It starts Wednesday with a rematch against the Suns, who will be shorthanded. No Nurkic. I don't think if maybe he plays,
I don't know
but
that for
we
sure.
know Durant's out. Friday, they take on Minnesota in the first NBA Cup game.
Ooh.
Then they play the next night at home against the Utah Jazz. Monday against the Hawks. Then they get a lot of time off, actually. They go Monday. They don't play again until the next Friday, an NBA Cup game on the road at the Intuit Dome against the Clippers. And then Sunday, they're back for the Brooklyn Nets. Jordy Fernandez and the Nets.
Dude, wow, almost 3 days off, but not really because we have a Stockton Kings
sure.
game. But cool.
Yeah, but, you know, five of six of those games are at home. And it'd be nice to get it going. It's going to be challenging without Malik Monk, too. I mean, we have barely talked about that, but we knew he's going to be missing time. 2 weeks is significant, and you just hope that it's 2 weeks, and that's it.
You hope, but you know that's not usually how it goes. But again, it just depends on how bad he actually did it, and he wouldn't just be going out on the court again unless he felt and the training staff felt like he was 100%. So hoping for that speedy recovery. The other thing I really wanted to say, though, when you said the next five or six games are at home, get those home wins. Get those home wins. Like, you got to figure it out. Shoot the ball well. Get the home wins, please. For
It'd
my
be
soul.
So nice to see them get it going from three.
I know. But
and change some of these numbers, man.
And to me, it's going to just generate, obviously, the W's a little bit easier at home. You see that they have the talent. Mike Brown just, like, needs to dive and dip into that bench a little bit more and just feel like he can have a different rotation, even with Malik Monk not in there. Like, J-Mac's few minutes tonight in that first half, he made a little impact. He made a three. He was doing a few. Like, you got to distribute those minutes a little bit more.
Yeah, I think it's going to be critical over the stretch to get that going. Who would be your player of the game? Why are we even asking?
Yeah,
who's the player of the game?
Wemby. Yeah,
Victor Wembanyama, congratulations. You are the simply the best player of the game. 34 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 blocks. He did on 13 of 22 shooting, 6 of 12 from 3.
So annoying.
That's presented by Northwest Exteriors. Yeah, he was outrageous. You know, someone was asking in the comments, why did you guys stop doing the moment of the game? And I said I was going to bring it back, and I decided tonight I was going to bring it back.
Okay.
Or earlier today. So this is going to be our first moment of the game. We take a couple of moments that we want to write down a post-it note so we remember. In fact, can you grab the moment jar? Would you mind?
It's so far.
It's closer to you than me. Are you serious right now? Let's see here. Let's just give an example. Maybe we need some good vibes. Good vibes? Some three. I'm going to pull something out. It's going to be like,
I already feel better.
You do, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's pull one from last year. This will kind of make or break the homestand, right? Like, just the vibes of it.
I don't like. Why are you putting that pressure on it? What if, did you just put
I didn't
it back?
Look. I didn't. Well, I wanted the small one. Oh, I got one. Here we go. All right, here's one. February 14th, 102-98 Kings over Denver, back to back before the All Star break. Fox had 15 points in the fourth quarter, including 10 straight. And then I noted Mason Jones vibes. Remember
Ooh,
that game?
Oh, yeah. And everyone Ooh. Just was like, Mason.
No one thought they were going to win that on the second half of back to back in Denver, and they had to grind it out.
Okay.
That's the mentality we have to have.
Just
one more.
No. Leave it at
Let's
that.
Keep it rolling.
You're
Let's
so stupid.
Rolling.
This is so.
I won't read it if it's bad. How about that?
No, because it's still just the energy is up in the air. Just leave it be.
One more for everybody. Okay. All right. So, what's tonight's moment of the game for you? I have one.
Then tell me yours, because I have no idea what my
Sabonis and Victor battling down low. Sabonis got him on a fake, and then Victor recovered and blocked his shot. It was just one of those sequences where Sabonis showed off like amazing footwork, patience, literally did everything you were taught to do and did it right, and it didn't matter.
Cheat code. Yeah.
Victor, cheat code.
Cute.
Blocks.
Cute.
Sabonis. After fake. Kings lose. What was the score? 116-96.
Jordan says in the chat, we are reminiscing about old games. We are so done.
I was bringing it up to remind you guys about the moment jar that we did last year that we're bringing back officially tonight. And maybe it's what we need. First moment.
It's not about the game. It's about the moment jar. Yes. Okay. Because we do the moment jar in bad and good games. Tonight, bad. And that's when we bring it back.
So the Kings' schedule coming up. They play Wednesday against the Suns again, Friday against Minnesota. It's going to be very intriguing. The NBA Cup is back. The NBA Cup is back. Last year was the NBA in-season tournament. They realized some people called it Cup. Some people called it IST. Some people called it NBA in-season tournament. They got rid of it. It's NBA Cup.
Yeah.
We get the fancy courts. We get kind of crazy.
The Vegas commercial.
I don't feel like it has the same buzz this year, but maybe that changes because tomorrow night is the first round of the NBA Cup games. And I was looking at the schedule for it. Let's see if any of these matchups do anything for you.
Okay.
NBA Cup, Atlanta, Boston.
No.
Miami, Detroit.
No.
Charlotte, Orlando.
No.
New York, Philly. On paper.
Yeah.
On paper, it was supposed to. Now, no.
Agreed.
Toronto, Milwaukee.
No.
Phoenix, Utah.
No.
Minnesota, Portland.
No.
And then the one that's the obvious one, Dallas, Golden State.
Good job.
Which has the ability to kind of get people into it. Now, I'd say one good thing. Some of these NBA games have been really good. So if you want to bounce around League Pass or you bounce around some of the games, hopefully there's some good NBA Cup games. Last year, the NBA Cup made November more intriguing. There was no denying that,
100%.
Right?
100%. And you say that, I had fun watching the end of Houston, Detroit the other day because they ended up, like, Detroit ended up just, like, scratching and crawling and coming on back and everything, and it made it a fun ending. And my point is because League Pass, you're able to just bounce around, and then you think about these NBA Cup games, maybe there is still this different energy these players go into it with, hopefully. So then it can be fun, and some of these games do end very competitively. I mean, why wouldn't they? It goes toward the record. Like,
we do have an update, too, and shout out to the chat, because I wasn't sure if this was actually official yet, but Knicks Sixers could have a little more intrigue because Joel Embiid is likely to play in that game. He's not on the injury report.
Okay. Well, then that makes it a little better.
Okay. We get a little Embiid against the Knicks. I like that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. We want to see him play in the first game. He comes back as an NBA Cup game. Yeah. I'm on board.
And I'm rooting on Toronto.
Also, we're basketball sickos, so I'm definitely going to be watching all of the games. I'm going to be bouncing around. Hey, what game is good? We'll just be checking it out. Kings don't play tomorrow. The first NBA Cup games. Hope maybe it gives some juice. Maybe it gives some juice to the teams. Maybe it gives some juice to the Kings when they play their first one Friday against Minnesota. By the way, just a reminder, their group, they're in West Group A. Their group is Portland, Minnesota, Houston, and the Clippers.
Okay. Oh, God.
So, I mean, kind of a mixed bag there, but Minnesota.
Definitely a mixed bag.
Yeah. So.
I'm excited. I'm here for it. And I know as soon as I see the floor on Friday, and it'll be me and you on NBC.
Yep. Next three games. I'll be on with you Wednesday, Friday, Saturday.
Dude, that's exciting. It's so much fun. Every game's a big game with Deuce.
So we get Warriors Mavs tomorrow. Klay Thompson's return to play his former team for the first time. I'm interested to see what this is like because Klay is an emotional guy, and he is totally downplaying all of this. The Warriors announced they're like giving away these sea captain hats in honor of, you know, Klay Thompson used to take the boat in. So all the fans who come to the game are wearing those. Feels a little corny to me. Just play a video tribute, give away some like thank you Klay shirts and call it a day, but whatever. Anyway, Klay Thompson today was asked about the matchup with the Golden State Warriors, and I found it interesting.
It's about going back to Golden State, a place you play for 13 seasons. So what are those initial emotions?
be good to see people that you grinded with, obviously. But to me, it's just another regular season game in November. Obviously, there's bigger implications with the NBA Cup. So that's what's on our mind, is in my mind, is just to win that, because I haven't been a part of it yet. I know it's young, but it'd be fun to play for that title.
Yeah. Do you think it'll be difficult to kind of compartmentalize just everything that you're probably going to feel going into that arena and actually playing in the game?
No, I don't think so. I've been doing this a long time, and basketball is basketball.
Were you surprised that they're giving out the captain's hats?
I guess it's a good thing for the fans, so kudos to them.
There's Klay Thompson seemingly downplaying every aspect of it besides, like, oh, it's an NBA Cup game, but it's just another game. There is just no way that it's another game for him. Mm-hmm. And if he is in that mind frame and he actually shows that tomorrow, I'm going to be really impressed.
Yeah.
He's always been kind of that emotional guy.
Sure.
You know, and going through the highs and lows. He's been through so much. You think about his injuries there, start his career there, the championships won, going back in the building for the first time. There's no way it's just another game for Klay Thompson.
Wearing a different jersey. You know, he can say whatever he wants to say. And I think especially for Warriors fans and people that have covered him throughout the years will kind of know or really feel what he might be actually like feeling in those moments. And not, I'm not saying they're going to feel, but they're going to, because they know his personality is my point. And maybe he will even show a different type of emotion when he's actually stepping out there. But maybe he's also changed and he just wants to be competitive and not give a shit. And
you can want to. I'd be shocked. I mean, I just think there's going to be emotions going into it. And I imagine it's going to be a little overwhelming. I think it's always tough in these situations. This is not something you see all the time, right? We're talking about someone who spent his entire career in one spot, won so many championships, was a fan favorite, and now he's going back for the first time. I think it's going to be overwhelming. And I'm not saying he's going to play poorly because of it, but the way he's talking about it, maybe he's trying to manifest that type of energy, which I admire so much. But tell you what, man, he's going to want to go for blood, one. But two, he also is like going to feel it. Like he's probably going to tear up. Like, I don't blame him.
You know how the captain's hat is supposed to be like a nod?
Yeah.
Like, there's just something about it that I would almost think like, oh, they're trying to F with me. Like, they're trying to be like, look how sweet we are.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, like, oh my gosh, we're the cute, nice team, even though we didn't think that you were worth, you know, keeping around. But here's a captain's hat on everybody's head.
A little corny.
That's all.
Yeah.
But I mean, do you?
The other bummer of that we got yesterday in terms of injury news, Chet Holmgren going to be reevaluated, 8 to 10 weeks?
Yeah.
After fracturing his hip, took that fall against the Golden State Warriors. OKC won tonight. SGA had a career night. He had 45 points, which was incredible in their win tonight over the LA Clippers,
damn.
I believe. Yeah. Yeah. He ended up with 45 points in this game. 15 of 16 at the line, 13 of 21 overall. And they won 134 to 128. Man, I just feel so bad for Chet, dude. Like,
same.
He's such an exciting player. He missed his first season. And man, I've mentioned this to Morgan before, and I don't know if I mentioned on this pod, but you know, watching Chet sometimes, he takes some falls that make you uncomfortable. And that one was really, really bad. And that's 8 to 10 weeks, I think, like, reevaluated to resume on-court activities.
Broken hip.
It's going to be a minute. And what a significant blow it is to OKC.
Sure.
Like, they don't have a tremendous amount of size. You know, Hartenstein is still out right now. But what Chet does with his length, his skill, his ability to put the ball on the floor, make plays, shooting, just huge for a team that I think has title aspirations.
Absolutely. And you go down the list and you look at their roster and you still get to think about what they get to grow off of from last year. And it still very solid, still very good. But like you said, the unique things that Chet adds with his size, with his skill set, just makes them even that much more dominant. And then you do think about having that weapon of length and not having Hartenstein on out there right now, which, hey, at least you acquired Isaiah Hartenstein.
Yeah. I mean, because if they didn't, I'm like,
yeah,
that's rough, but it's a big time loss. They're still going to be good, but I just feel so bad for him. I think he was poised to have an awesome year.
He tweeted last night too.
From the hospital bed, right?
Yeah.
He's being super reflective.
It was sweet and long, and it broke my heart. Just because can't tell if I feel better or worse about this having been through something similar before. On one hand, I know how to approach it. I know what to do, what not to do, and how beautiful the other side is. Oh, but on the other hand, I felt the frustration of this process and the wear it puts on your mind. Most of all, I'm hurt I can't help my teammates and play for our fans and supporters for a while. Everyone who sticks with me and our team, along with my need for hoops, is a big part of my passion to return. Don't pity me or feel bad. He's talking to you, Deuce. There's a lot of people out there right now with real problems that don't heal. Anyways, excuse my rambling. Just wanted to address our OKC fans and family. Thoughts from my DA hospital bed.
DA, huh? The hospital? Oh, from...
Sorry.
Thoughts from DA hospital bed. What do you think the DA meant?
You know what's funny? I was just thinking like, OKC, but then DA would have nothing to do with that.
Did you see the tweet he sent right after that?
Uh-oh.
That's from the hospital bed, Morgan. He sent it was really funny because he mentioned, he goes, and I can't believe this MF still made the lay. What the F? I'm pissed. Talking about Andrew Wiggins. Oh, by the way, everyone's laughing at you in the chat. It was funny. Funny moment, Morgan. Funny moment.
Thank you. Thank you so much. In the DA hospital bed.
I was watching you read it. I'm like, I wonder if she's going to say the or duh.
And I said DA.
And you said DA. I'm like, what did you just say?
I did not see. I mean, literally, when I'm reading it, I thought it was like abbreviated. Like, I was thinking of like, oh, he's in a certain hospital.
Yeah, he's in the DA hospital.
Like, duh, that's an OKC thing, right?
So stupid.
Everyone knows the DA hospital. The hospital.
Do you have some final thoughts tonight? Do you have anything else that we missed that we should be talking about? The Eastern Conference is bad. The NBA, that's kind of typical. That was something on my list.
Like, what makes you bring that up?
I just had it written down.
I know, but like, obviously something triggered that.
Looking at the standings?
Okay, that's
Look
what it is.
Look at the NBA standings. Have you not stared at them?
I didn't stare at them today. I'm sorry. Is that what I was supposed to do?
Well, the Cavs are 12-0.
Yeah.
Yeah. They win. Boston's 9-2. Indiana, 5-5, is in the third seed. Orlando, 5-6. Brooklyn, 5-6. New York, 4-5. They literally have three teams above 500 in the East. Meanwhile, the West, like, come on, man. Kings are 6-5 in the 10th spot. They'd be the 3 seed in the East.
That is so funny. I'm so glad you brought that up. I have not looked at the Eastern Conference standings, but I knew obviously about the Cavs.
Yeah.
I know Boston's doing well, but I didn't take the time to actually look down and see all of those records. Yeah, it's bad. Good for them. Easy way out.
Final thoughts.
I would say I hope that this little cute little vent sesh helped a little bit. Because you still are early on in the season, 11 games in, you can address and be concerned with certain topics when it comes to this team. But I don't think it is time to be concerned about this team as a whole at all, because mostly and consistently, they have shown you night after night that they will fight and stay in games, win or lose.
My final thoughts, I think anytime we do a podcast where it turns an event session after, I spend like the next hour going, God, did we just hammer that too hard? Did we talk too much about this? Blah, 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 blah. I start overanalyzing everything I talked about tonight. Healthy. So I'm like, God, we talked about the three-point shooting for a lot, but I'm like, did we provide enough context? Did we go over all the things and the angles? Blah, blah, blah. The last thing I wanted to go over is a big picture item, my final thought. You know, I was in a conversation today in our Discord with this guy in our Discord who might be the most negative and angry person I think I've ever engaged with in my life, 4916er. But I still like want to like engage with him because I like talking basketball, even if his approach is awful and
interesting,
borderline toxic. I also have this thing where it's the same thing with our chat sometimes. Like I see some of the messages tonight, I'm rolling my eyes at, you know, Toxic City over here.
I like
but
you guys.
I also like to engage because at the end of the day, we're all Kings fans who I think want the same thing. We want them to win. We just have different ideas about like, all right, how do you get there? Anyway, one of the things we were talking about, he was raving about Jeff Petrie's past as GM with Sacramento Kings. And my whole point was like, well, Jeff actually made some mistakes here at the end. He was this. But something that I was thinking about deeper though was Jeff Petrie's ability to make tough trades, to make trades that would make fans uncomfortable and maybe people uncomfortable with the pieces that were involved. We often talk about with his success and the King's success in the early 2000s, there's people in our audience who go, I wasn't watching that, I wasn't alive too. When the Kings had all this success, they made some pretty savvy moves. They landed Chris Webber and Doug Christie and Mike Bibby, but we don't often talk about like what they had to give up to get those pieces. Mm-hmm. When they got Chris Webber, who was in his second stop, had a terrible reputation, they traded a multi-time All-Star, a guy who won an All-Star MVP, Mitch Richmond, for Chris Webber, who didn't even want to come here. It worked out. That's a little bit of a risk. When they traded for Doug Christie, they gave up Corliss Williamson, who ended up turning into a sixth man of the year in the league and won a championship with the Pistons. It was a risk, but man, they needed someone like Doug, right? When they traded Brad Miller in a sign-and-trade deal, or traded for him in a sign-and-trade deal, they gave up Hito. Hito went on to be such a good player in this league with the Orlando Magic. He was awesome. There's risks involved sometimes in these trades, and I think we all have to acknowledge that sometimes GMs have to make tough decisions, and Monty may have some tough decisions to make in the future. I think one of those things might be trading someone that we're not even thinking about. And I know he's done it once before with Tyrese Halliburton when they traded Tyrese and got Sabonis. But when you start thinking big picture where this team needs to go, if you have a core Fox, Sabonis, and DeRozan, I think you have to be realistic that if they're really going to take a jump, it's not going to be because they go, oh, we package like Colby Jones and like Trey Lyles. Like, that's not going to move the needle enough for you. So I guess my final thought is like, you might have to take some risks. Bring it on. Let's embrace it. We're on this journey together.
Oh, look at that.
How beautiful is it? I sounded like Bill Walton there.
A little bit.
The late, great Bill Walton. Let's just enjoy this journey together. In this beautiful basketball universe, man. But that was a little John Gruden. That's not cool. We don't like John Gruden.
Okay. It wasn't really.
It was terrible.
You did great.
No, you're right. Okay. All right. It's been fun, guys. After the show, make sure to drop some comments. Did we overreact? Did we bitch too much? I actually kind of just need to know for my own good. Yeah. Just let me know in the comments below.
Just needs your validation. Yeah.
And let us know what we could do better. Oh, we love you guys. We got to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com. VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.